I told you I'd remember to turn that on, Don. I seen you carrying on back out there. We're in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. And what our title is this evening is, Why is the House of God Forsaking? Our first way is not giving. Not giving. God's house is forsaken whenever you don't give to the ministry of your local church. And everybody, by the way, if you're here tonight and born again, you should be a member of one of the Lord's churches, and you should work in that church. The church was established, as we said earlier in the week, to carry His commission, make disciples by spreading the gospel, baptize them into what? Teach them. That's what our job is to do.
Amen.
Well, the pastor of a church, that's the highest office in the church. And the pastor is to set the lead, isn't he? But you know what? The pastor's work is pastor work. And as the scripture says, the laborer, Luke chapter 10, verse 7, when he set his disciples out, he said, don't go from house, don't go bumming. Don't go house to house, but the house that receives you, you stay there. And he says, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. So it's work. It's work. In much study, the book of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12, in much study is a weariness to the flesh. Study makes me tired. I get tireder from studying than I do doing manual labor. I mean, I can work, you know, and work, but buddy, studying really makes me tired. Study's labor. Being a pastor is labor. I want to tell you a little something. When I was 25 years of bivocational, is what they call it. I worked and pastored for 25 years. And when I quit, when I went full time after 25 years, a man walked up to me and said, and he went to my church and he said, how are you enjoying your retirement? That's what he said. How are you enjoying? I said, I'm enjoying it. This retirement's awesome. Like working and being a pastor isn't a job. I thought, where in the world have you been? Just think about that. Let's turn to another text that I wanted to show to you before I move off this. Let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How are you enjoying your retirement, Jeff? Beloved, there's a lot of work that goes into preaching. I just want you to know it. Don's worth his weight. Now, I'm telling you, he teaches. Now, think how much money that would be, but he's worth his weight. Any minister that ministers the Word of God faithfully is worthy of his hire. Any minister that oversees and watches after his flock is worthy of his hire. In the book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Did I tell you the right text? Got myself tickled and I can't recover. Watch this now. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them. Doesn't mean to know them. Doesn't mean just to know who they are, but you need to know what they do.
Yep.
Nobody knows what a preacher does, but really other preachers. I was asked one time, don't let me forget to read it, but I was asked one time, let me go ahead and read it. It says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. You see the word labor? That's work. Like working to the point of fatigue. There's a lot of work involved in it. You see, you might spend 6, 7, 8 hours on one message. There might be 6, 7, 8 hours or even more in one message. And I know I preach about 4 times a week, every week. That's a lot of study. You got to do a lot of personal. If you don't do your, listen now, if you don't do your personal study, you'll dry up. You can't just study that book for sermons.
Amen.
You need to learn. If you're a teacher, you need to learn that. You just can't study that book for lessons. You got to open that book up and pray and just study it. Just let the Lord talk to you personally, not to get nothing ready.
Yes,
I found that out a long time ago. Man, I started looking for all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you, those sermons will come out of your personal study with the Lord. And it'll make a great deal of difference in you finding the message. It says to know them. And you need to know that what they do is labor. Let me tell you something about the ministry. Here's the difference. I worked in a drum plant, and one of the differences is when at the end of my shift, you know what I did? I had one of them little clock, you know, little time clocks. And I went and did this, and I'm done. Don't bother me when I clock out. I'm done. I want to tell you something about the ministry. Not only is there all that study that goes with it, you're on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you need to realize that too. You say, why are you preaching this? You need to know what preachers do. They're not lazy. There's a lot of work that's involved in preparing messages. There's a lot of work involved with visiting people. There's a lot of work involved with leading a congregation of people. There's a lot of work involved with visiting those that are sick. It's labor. And it's tiresome labor. So you nearly need to know that you're not given that. You're not here, I'm going to give you your check. He earns his check. He earns his check. Sometimes I used to have a buddy at work who was a manager, and he said, well, here's your gift. Well, I said, wait a minute, man, that ain't no gift.
Yes, sir.
I earned that. Amen. I worked for that. And I'm going to tell you something. Your preacher does that too. You pray for these preachers that are here. You pray for them. I think the devil takes special note of those that ministers God's word. Here's some stats that I want to read to you that I looked up for you. I got to get off the first point eventually. But anyhow, 97% of pastors, this comes from, I think I wrote it down, pastoralcare.com. I've read it in the past. 97% of pastors have been betrayed or falsely accused or hurt by a trusted friend. 97%. 70% of pastors battle depression. 70% of pastors battle depressions. 1,500 pastors quit each month. 10% will retire as a pastor. I didn't know you'd be ever retired, but I guess if you retire, it's only 10% will. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressures of the ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friends. 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours a week. You say, what are you saying all that for? It's labor. It's labor.
Amen.
The pastor's worthy of his hire. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Well, if you love the Lord's church, and if you forsake the Lord's church, one of the ways that you do that is by not giving. And there's a great host of people that don't. There's a great host of people that don't. If you want to serve the Lord and not want to forsake His house, the first way you do forsake His house is by not giving. By not giving. You say, why are you saying that for? Because a lot of times the pastor won't talk about himself. I'm coming in from the outside talking a little bit. I just want you to know what goes on. And I also want you to know that these men of God that are here that labor in the Word, the Scripture says that they are worthy of double honor. Y'all know what that means? Double pay. Double pay. It's the idea of the word, I'm telling you. That's double time. Think about that. You should have shouted when I said that. Number two, let's move on to the second point. You got the first point by not giving. Many times churches have trouble because people don't give. There's a lot of things that goes on at churches. There's a lot of things you need to do. There's a lot of things that you could do to get the gospel out, and they take what? It takes money. Well, where does that money come from? It comes from the congregation that gets the benefits of the ministry. It comes from God's people. You can forsake God's house by not giving. Number two, by not attending. by not attending. Think about this. And this is my perspective as a pastor. You ladies, y'all cook big meals sometimes, don't you? I mean, you take and you spread that thing out on the table, you know, for your man, you know. And can you imagine spending hours and hours and hours in preparation to lay a meal on the table, like Thanksgiving? Can you imagine spending all that time and then him not coming and eating? Hey, can I ask you girls something? Would that make you mad? Here you spent 8 hours on preparation to get the meal ready. And then that old heathen not come and eat. It'd make you so mad you couldn't see straight, wouldn't it? Well, a pastor does the exact same thing in a different way. He prepares you a meal. He spends hours doing it. He labors over it. He prays for it. You know, I don't think we should have a church bell. I think we should have a dinner bell. And you can go up there and clang that thing and say, come and get it. Because there's a meal being delivered every time the door is open. You ought to be thankful to the Lord that you have pastors that break the bread of life for you, that you can hear the Scriptures and serve the Lord. You can forsake God's house by not attending it. Not only by not giving to it, but also not attending it. Faithful church attendance is a sign of spiritual health. Let me tell you a blessing I got here recently. Across from me, I had a neighbor when I grew up. He had several kids, and they couldn't go to church. They weren't allowed to go to church. And I always loved this one boy that lived over there. He's younger than I was, about 4 years younger than me. I tried to help him some as he's grown up. But over the years, I had forgotten about him. You know, this happened last year, I think it was. I was in there, and the phone rang, and it was that boy. It was that boy. And his name was Kyle, and he's in Florida. He's in Florida. And he said, Jeff, I want you to hear something. And I could hear in the background, I could hear my voice. And I said, man, that sounds like an awful good preacher. Who? No. I said, I could hear my voice. I said, what are you doing, Kyle? He says, I'm listening to you off sermon audio. And I thought the Lord wanted me to call you, I think. I said, all right. He said, you know what? I'm going to a Baptist church down here, Jeff. I've been saved. Amen. That's what he said. I want you hearing this now. I've been saved. And I said, I want you to know something. He said, he lived across the road from me. He said, I used to watch you and your mom and your dad every Sunday morning.
Right.
Every Sunday night. And every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Go out and pal in your car and I'd watch y'all drive off. He said, you know something, Jeff? I would have loved to went with you, but I wasn't allowed to go. But I wanted to call and tell you that I noticed that. And I wanted to tell you that I've been saved. And I'm over the whole youth group in this Baptist church in Florida.
Amen.
You don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's watching. He was a sinner man. Sinner people notice when you go to church and when you don't. It's a good testimony to an unsaved neighbor to see you loading, coming out with your Bible, getting in your car, and going out to God's house. Y'all agree?
Amen.
And they need to see that every time the doors open.
Amen.
And not only will that not only will that be used in your community, but it'll be a blessing for your pastor. He's worked hard. He's got you a meal prepared for you to eat.
Yeah. Amen.
But guess what you got to do? You got to come and get it.
Yeah.
You got to come and get it. It's a good testimony to your unsaved neighbor. It's a good testimony to your children. You can't expect them to take God's house serious if you don't come. Let's just be blunt about it. You can't expect them to take it serious if they don't see it in you. Talked about my pop. He never misses. And everybody in the church knows he never missed. I snuck off one time from church. I went over to Mama's. Because I figured Mama outruled Papa. But boy, I struggled with that. I hid. Church bell rang and I didn't go. Oh my. I guess he was watching the door. And the longer that service went, the madder he got. Because when I got in that car, And the longer we went up towards Poca, the madder he got. He said, "You don't ever, ever." Well, I went over to help Mama. Mama didn't need no help. I just went over because I didn't want to go to church. Oh, he jumped sideways over that. Oh, it was awful. So I learned there at a young age that it just wasn't something that you did. Yeah, you just didn't do that.
Amen.
I learned that from him. I learned that the hard way too, because it wasn't nice when we got back home. I couldn't sit down for a month. Hey, listen, beloved, I ain't forgot that all the way. I'm 56. I haven't forgot that all the way down to the day. And I wanted my kids to see the exact same thing in me. I wanted them to see the exact... You can't expect them to come if you don't set an example for them to follow. They need to see that also. In you. It's a good example to your new church members. Oh, it embarrasses me to death sometimes. I'll get new church members in the church and I'll tell them what we expect them to do. Don't you think you should?
Yes, sir.
I explain to them. I give them kind of an orientation. Explain to them what and one of the things we expect them to do is to come to church.
Amen.
We'd like for you to come to all of them. I think you should come to all of them. Don't y'all?
Yes, sir.
I think you should come to all of them. Here's what we expect you to do. And then they'll look over and they'll talk, well, what about this one and that one and this one and that one and that one? Well, that's not right. But you shouldn't follow it. See what I'm trying to say? Older members set the example for younger members.
Absolutely.
That's a horrible example if they don't see you here. Well, you forsake God's house by not giving. You also forsake God's house by not attending. Now let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Third of all, by not respecting. I think people should show respect in the house of the Lord. I think people should show respect when they're in God's house. And I've had, you know, sometimes you get a little problems with that. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's go ahead and begin up at verse 1. And all the people gathered, and boy, this is a good text to preach from. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake to Ezra, the scribe. They rebuilt the wall. They're going to have a worship service. They're going to have a meeting. And they bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel. And Ezra the scribe brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, all that could hear with understanding. And on the first day of the seventh month, I believe that's the Feast of Trumpets, if I remember right. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. Look here how long this meeting lasted. From morning unto midday. Now, if they started at 6 in the morning, that's a 6-hour meeting.
Sure is.
And they were standing there, and they were reading now the book of the law. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. And they had such a craving for the Scriptures that they stood there for 6 hours. Think about how long that would have been. It says, before the men and the women, it's still verse 3, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive. They were attentive. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, like a scaffold, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, Matthiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Messiah on his right hand, and on his left, Padiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, and Hashabena, if you can do any better than that, that's great. Zechariah and Mishalim. Now watch this now, beloved. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people did what? What do they do that for? Honor. And respect for the Scriptures. And Ezra blessed. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen. And amen, and lifting up their hands and they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Think about that, beloved. They stood up. They respected the Scriptures. It's unbelievable what folks does in church sometimes. Now, I get a lot of new folks in time to time, and I realize they'll learn over time. When older people continue to do things that they shouldn't do, it makes me mad. I can be coming. You want me to share something with you? I'm going to anyhow. It's part of the message. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll close. But when I'm closing my sermon. But I'm getting ready to give a call. Buddy, when I shut that last, point down, and I'm starting to close, that's the key, then you'll hear. Makes me so mad I can't see. All you hear is zipping done. So last time, I said, hey! I ain't done. Don't zip and slam them till I'm done. There's lost people in here, and I want to call upon somebody to trust Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to die in 5 minutes, I doubt, if you get out of here. Aggravates me. I think that's disrespectful. I don't like that at all. And I see, if we're up here, we can see just about everything. And then you'll look back here and there'll be somebody going. I'd like to walk back here and take it and throw it in the Kanawha River. That's the same as talking in church the way I look at it. Now, if somebody's using that as a Bible, it's different. Some people have a Bible on one of those, and that's fine. But there's plenty of times when they're doing that. And I'm like, I think that's just what? Disrespectful. Put that thing up unless you're using it as a Bible. Well, how did people make it all those years without being able to contact everybody every minute? How did they make it all those years without those things? I'm getting a lot off my chest tonight. I'm feeling better already. Bible zipping, texting, talking during the meeting. You're sitting there, I think that can quench the spirit. Lost people around people and they're talking and carrying on. It makes me mad. Now, beloved, some people are medicine. Some people have problems and they sleep in church. I'm glad they're here. And you learn, and you need to understand it, because one of these days it's going to be you, probably. At least they're here. Y'all agree? But sometimes it's not because of anything, because they stayed out too late. You know what they always told me when you're going to do something important? Back when I played football, you had a big game. Old coach said, boys, I want you in early tonight. We got a big game tomorrow. It's important that we win. So I want y'all in. I best not hear of any of you out. You get in because this is really something important happening. Well, I always figured church is more important than a football game.
Amen.
So that means one of the things you need to do then is you need to get in bed early so you can stay awake during the meeting. I'm going to go to bed early because tomorrow, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be worshiping. I'm going to be singing. I want to be awake so that I can hear what's being said. You see what I'm saying? We need to do a little preparation for them. We need to do a little preparation. And one of the ways we can prepare is by go to bed early. Could you imagine hearing that? People say, I'm going to bed early because I got a big game tomorrow. Wouldn't you love to hear people say, I'm going to bed early because I got a big church meeting tomorrow? That'd be a good thing to hear, would it not? I think a lot of things that goes on is disrespectful. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think there should be honor showed in God's house and respect to the man that's preaching the word and people that sing and people that pray.
Amen.
I don't like all that stuff.
Right.
I don't like it. And I ain't going to have it. Might run me off, but I still ain't going to have it. I think they ought to show respect in God's house. I think you need to give young Christians a chance to learn. They'll learn. Don't be too hard on new folk. You hear what I'm saying? Don't be hard on new folk. Let them learn. They'll learn. But they need to learn by watching the other older members, how they conduct themselves in the meeting. They need to learn that from you also. Well, we're looking at ways you forsake God's house, not giving. not attending, and not what else? Not respecting.
Yeah.
Should be respect shown in the house of the Lord. And last of all, by not obeying. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Last of all, the last point is by not obeying. Ezekiel 33, not obeying. Man, when we come to the house of the Lord, we hear a message from God's Word, we should mind. We should take it as it's being God's Word, and we should mind it. Seek to put it into practice. Not think about it, but I mean, if it's true and it's biblical and it's what the Bible says you should do, guess what you should do? You should mind. You don't wait to mind it. Watch this now. I figure Ezekiel was probably a pretty good speaker. Notice what this says. This is a good text to preach from. All these are good texts to preach from. I just put them all under one so I could finish it out. Also, thou son of man, the children of the people are talking against you. And the idea of it means is not in a bad way, but they were talking about him by the walls and the doors and of the houses. Speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. That sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like it would be a really good thing? The people saying, come and hear what is coming forth, and he calls it the word of the Lord. Now look at verse 31. They come unto thee as the people comes. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. They will not what? They won't do them. I mean, they're talking about, oh, Ezekiel, he's a wonderful speaker. Oh, Ezekiel, he brings a marvelous message. And he said, it looked like everything was going peachy. But then God says, hey, Ezekiel, they're not doing it. They're not doing what you say. For with their mouth, they show much love, but their heart goes after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not.
Right.
I mean, at face value, it looked like everything was rolling.
Yeah.
But in Ezekiel, they're not obeying.
Nope.
You forsake God's house when you don't obey what's said there. You forsake it when you don't obey what's said there. He'll give you things that you need to do. You'll hear things from the Scriptures that you need to practice. And it's forsaking God's house to disobey those things. Do y'all not agree?
Amen.
We forsake God's house four ways, I've give you. Still not done. Almost. We forsake God's house by not giving, not attending, not respecting, and not obeying.
Yeah.
All four of those are ways we forsake God's house. What do we need to do? Let me give you three P's here real quick. Three words that starts with a P. There needs to be preparation. We didn't talk about that. We prepare before we take the Lord's Supper. We should get our minds ready for the Lord's Supper. But don't you think we should get prepared for every service? We should prepare for every service. Spend some time with the Lord before you come. Pray. Ask the Lord to bless. What do you think would happen? If we just did that much, what we think would happen? We got to prepare ourselves. Preparation. Preparation. Also part of preparation, get a little sleep, you know. So you can be attentive when you're there. Number two, participation. Whenever you hear, participate. Participate by singing. Participate by listening. And then, last of all, the last practice. Put into practice what you hear. Oh, beloved, then you'll get all the most out of a church service. It'll be a great blessing to you. Ways God's house is forsaken. Not giving, not attending, not respecting, and not obeying. How is it with you tonight? This was mainly towards aimed at all of us that are saved. But if you're here tonight and lost, you could be saved tonight.
Amen.
You could be saved tonight if you trust Him as your Savior. You've probably heard about Jesus a lot. You've heard the message of the gospel. And you're planning on one day. You're planning on one day doing something about it, but you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Hate to say it. No, I really don't hate to say it this way, but there's a lot of people that waited their way right into hell. They heard the way, they knew the way, but they never trusted the way. I don't know how it is with you. If you're not unsaved, won't you trust Him tonight?
Amen.
Holy Spirit, touch your heart. Won't you trust Him tonight? Well, beloved, I tell you what, I can't tell you how much it's meant to me, you having me here this week. It's been an honor for me to be here. I love you folks. I do. I really do. I love you folks. I miss you. I miss every one of you when I go back in the valley. And I look forward one of these days to coming back and being in meetings with you. Amen. Being in meetings with you again. Hope the Lord continues to bless all the churches here. We need good solid churches, don't we?
Yes, sir.
And we pray for you.
Amen.
Hear me? We pray for you that the Holy Spirit would bless and add and
Amen.
Send revival. Brother Don, you come on.
God bless you. Amen.
Bless you, brother. Love you, boy. Don't know what.